الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة البقرة اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده يا ايها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال عز وجل كما ورد في سورة الزاريات وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ صدق اللہ العظیم رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی اللہم ربنا الہمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللہم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وتقبل منا فإنك خير المتقبلين آمين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. At this time I want to discuss the most basic issue of Islam. That is, what has been the fundamental call of all the Anbiya, prophets and Rasul, messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whosoever reads Quran, he knows it. In so many surahs, especially Makkiyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given what was the call of Nuh alayhi salam, what was the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam, what was the call of Hud alayhi salam, what was the call of Saleh alayhi salam, and so on and so forth. And the ayah is repeated so many times. All of them ask their people, Ya qawmi abudullah, لَكُمْ مِنِ اللَّهِ غَيْرُ إِلَى مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنِ اللَّهِ غَيْرُ إِلَى عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنِ اللَّهِ غَيْرُ All the Anbiya, all the Rusul came with this one item call. In the case of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a slight difference. Here it is not Ya Qawmi. Instead, Ya Yuhannas. Because he was not sent for his nation only. All the previous Anbiya and Rasul, they were sent to their nation only. As I have quoted, إِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا إِلَىٰ سَمُودًا أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا إِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا Only to their own nations. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent from the whole of humanity. We find it in Surah Saba. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَزِيرًا We have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but as Bashir and Nazir, giver of glad tidings and giver of warnings to the whole of humanity. Hence, in Surah Al-Baqarah, if you see the sequence of mazameen, the first surah is Surah Al-Fatiha. In that, we pray to Allah, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. That is the central ayah of Suratul Fatiha. Seven ayat, three on this side. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. Three on the other side. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Sirat al-Nazil anamta alayhim, ghayr al-Maghdoob alayhim wa al-Dhaadin. And the central one, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Then begins Suratul Baqarah. Alif Lam Mim, Zalikal Kitabu La Rayba Fih, Hudal Lil Muttaqin. Now this is the hidayah, this is the guidance for which you had prayed. Here it is. And we find that in the two first sections of Suratul Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given details of three types of people. One, who benefited from Quran to the best. Because you know, when Suratul Baqarah was being revealed, 13 long years had passed, and so much of Quran had already been revealed. Nearly 2/3 of Quran is Makki. Only 1/3 is Madani. So all that Makki Quran is in the background. Muhammad was calling his nation, his people to begin with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through Quran. And there were people who accepted, who took to that path, who accepted the guidance. There was Abu Bakr, there was Umar, there was Usman, there was Hamza. So many people were there already. So Allah was showing, look, these are the people who have accepted the guidance of Quran. And what are their attributes? قَدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمِنْ رَبِّكَ وَمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَى هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That was one type of people who benefited from the da'wah of Quran and the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then there was people who didn't believe due to their takabbur, haughtiness, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab. These people they never accepted. About those we find now two ayat. Inna ladhina kafaru sawaun alayhim anzartahum am lam tunzirhum la yu'minun. Khatam Allahu ala qulubihim wa ala sam'ihim wa ala absarihim bishawa wa lahum azabu rawi. Generally people make a mistake. These two ayat are not general. They are specific for those people of Makkah who were adamant and they didn't accept the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Quran. So Allah Ta'ala now has put a seal on their heart and now no amount of preaching or teaching is beneficial for them. For them there is azabul asim. Then you know, full one section is dedicated to a third type of people who began to appear in the Madani period. Who were they? The Munafiqeen. In Makkah there was no nifaq. Very straightforward people, either accepted or rejected. That's all. That in Medina, under the influence of the Yahudi ulama, there come up a section of people who by their tongues accepted Islam, but by their deeds they were kuffar. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is the third. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They are trying to deceive Allah and those who have become mu'min. But they are not deceiving but themselves. So these two sections, I don't want to go completely. This is the preliminary, it's the preface. You can say it's the preface of Surah Al-Baqarah. First, identify three types of people. One, mu'mineen, who accept it from their heart. The other, who reject it straight off due to their haughtiness, due to their hasad, their takabbur. And the third one, who were neither there nor there. Muzabzabina baina dhalik, la ilaha ulai wa la ilaha ulai. This was nifaq, the third category, which started in Medina. And then in the third section, I have given you this detail, why? So that you understand the importance of this ayah, the third section. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given, is giving the call of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhal nasu abadu rabbakum allazhi khalaqakum wallazina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. O mankind, as I told you, here we don't find ya qawmi, no. Ya ayyuhal nas. From day one, his birsa, his advent was international for the whole of humanity. Ya ayyuhal nas, u'budu rabbakum allazhi khalaqakum wallazina min qablikum. Make ibadah. I will translate this word later on. Because if I use the word worship, it's a very small word. It doesn't convey the sense of ibadah. If I say obey, that is also limited. Ibadah is a term of Quran. And we have to go very deep into these meanings. And it cannot be translated into any one word. We shall need at least two words. I'll explain later on. Do ibadah. Wudu rabbakum, to your Lord. Allazi khalaqakum wallazina min qablikum, who created you and also those who were before you. Why this mention has been made of before you? Because we read in Quran several times. Generally, the people replied to the call of the prophets and messengers of Allah. Oh, we shall follow what we have found our forefathers to do. Majadna alayhi abana. We shall worship that and we shall take that attitude in life. We are not going to respond positively to your dawah, your call. So here Allah is saying, just as you have been created, and you can commit mistake. So your forefathers were also created. They were also created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were also human beings. They could make mistakes. Why follow them? You should see for yourself what is correct. What is arguable? What is reasonable? Not that we shall follow our forefathers. أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاهُمْ لَا يَحْتَدُونَ شَيْئًا. Although their forefathers might not have had any guidance at all. So يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Here generally a mistake is committed. تَتَّقُونَ, so that you become muttaqi. No. The word taqwa, what does it mean? Waqa yaqi, waqayatan, to save somebody else. Waqina azab an-nar. O Allah, save us from the punishment of fire. Ittaqa yattaqi, from babi iftaan, to save yourself. Taqwa means to save yourself. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you can be saved. Saved from what? In this life of this world, you will be saved from going astray, to this side or that side or this side or that side, to Ifrat or Tafreet, and to this extreme or to that extreme. And in the hereafter you will be saved of the fire of hell. Taqwa means to make yourself safe. Now, as I've told you, one point is made. The basic call of all the Anbiya and Rasul has been Dawah, Ibadah, Ibadatul Rabb. And then I quoted an ayah from Surah Az-Zariyat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinns and humans, but except that they should make ibadah towards me. This is the purpose of the creation of mankind and jinnat. And who is telling it? Who has created? He knows. What was the purpose of the creation of the jinns and the humans? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinns and the humans, but for the purpose that they should make ibadah to me. Now we have to understand what is this ibadah. First of all, let me invite your attention to a general mistake that we have committed. We think ibadah is song, salah, zakah, and that's all. Absolutely wrong. Ibadah is from Abd. Abd. What is Abd? Ghulam. Slave. What is the attitude of a slave? He has to obey his master. He is owned by his master. He can't do whatever he likes. He is not free. He is bound by the bondage of slavery. So he has to obey his master. Number two, this obedience cannot be partial. A slave can't say, sir, I can't do this. Oh, you have to do it. Don't you have the analogy of employee of this state? You have employed a person. He has to work for you, for example, in construction. He will work for 8 hours. Then he is free. He is not your slave. But a slave has to obey the master 24 hours. He is abd. Secondly, you employ a person, for example, as a cook. And someday you ask him, well, that maid servant has not come who used to clean the toilet. Go and clean the toilet. No, sir. I have been employed as a cook. This job is not mine. He can say it. Yes. But can the slave say it? Slave has to obey 100%, 24 hours. Whatever command comes from the master, he has to obey. Number three, if the master has given him some small room, cell, you may call it, to live, does he become the owner of that room? He doesn't own anything. Ownership is to the master. He has only given it to him. If he has given him some bed, okay. He doesn't become the owner of this bed. He is himself owned by the master. How can he own anything? Now this connection between Allah and his abd, that is ibadah. Total ibadah, total obedience. Not partial. Actually, today there is no slavery in the world. Hence, we don't understand what slavery is. In the past, when there was the institution of slavery, a master could kill his servant, his abd, whenever he likes. Just like you own a goat, you are free whenever you like. You halal, you sacrifice it, and you can eat its flesh. In the same way, a master, he is the owner of the abd, of the slave. He can kill him at his free will whenever he likes. Nobody can ask him. He cannot be brought to the book. No, nothing. It was my own master. I have done something wrong to myself. Okay. But who are you to question? He was my slave. This relationship between Allah and a person who claims to be Muslim, what are the meaning of Muslim? Surrender karne wala, who has surrendered himself. So now, this ibadah, in Persian, if we use two words, that will go to convey this sense. First word is bandagi, bandagi, banda. In Urdu, Persian, ulam. Abd, banda. Zindagi amad baraye bandagi. Zindagi be bandagi sharmindagi. Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah Alayh. This is the translation of that ayah. Wama khalaqtul jinna wal insa illa liya'budun. Zindagi amad baraye bandagi. Zindagi be bandagi sharmindagi. But only bandagi doesn't go to make ibadah, please note. Obedience and bandagi is sometimes forced. You don't like it. 60, 70 years before, we in India were slaves of the Britishers. But did we love them? No. It was forced on us. They conquered India. And we became the slaves. So this is, although literally this is ibadah, but this is not the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which Allah wants. Your obedience of Allah has to be out of love for Him. Love, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. When you are obedient and you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your obedience is out of love to Him, then it becomes ibadah. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, Al-ibadatu tajma'u waslan, ghayatu zulli wal khuzu' wa ghayatu al-hubb. Two things, extremely prostration before Allah, obedience of Allah, extreme obedience of Allah with extreme love for Him. Because I have quoted the ayah, Ashaddu Hubban, not only Hubb. They love Allah most of everything. So for that we can use a word of Persian. Parastish. Parastish. Worship. Worship is you are worshipping an idol, but there is no obedience for that idol. You are worshipping sun, but there can be no obedience to the sun. So parastish or worship joined with obedience. Bandagi, jama, mahabba, hub, love. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, who is the disciple of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he has changed the sequence. Al-ibadatu tajma'u aslain, ghayat al-hubbe, wa ghayat al-zulli wal-khuzu. He places hub first, love first, and then obedience. And this has to be total. Partial obedience is no obedience at all. Please note it. Let me give you the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah. As we have today also some people who practice Islam, they are saying salah and zakah and this and this, but at the same time engaged in riba business, which is haram. Well, what to do? Our trade and our industry can't go without it. So now we have divided. This part of the Sharia of Allah is acceptable to us. We will go and make Hajj pilgrimage. Yes, we'll go. We'll do Umrah. But this is impossible for us. What Allah says about it? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْثِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْثِ. Do you want to accept a part of our book and law and reject the other part of the book and law? فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلَ وَذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ. So there can be no punishment for those who take to this attitude. Please listen this ayah. Accept that. إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Accept extreme humiliation in this world, in this life of this world. And prepare for the shock. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. And on the day of judgment, they will be thrown in the worst punishment. أَشَدُّ. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. If you want to accept Islam, accept it totality, in its totality. It's a package, as you say. Brother, this is a package. Take it or leave it. So it is a package from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either take it whole or go away. Allah doesn't need you, you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let me give you, what is the connection between this ibadah, the concept, and the ibadat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for us? As-Sawm, As-Salah, As-Zakah, Al-Hajj. These are ibadat. Al-Ibadah is total obedience. Now, total obedience to Allah is not an easy job. Allah Iqbal says, Jubi goyam musalmanam bi larzam ke danam muskilate la ilara. When I say that I am Muslim, I tremble. Because I know that to say that I am a Muslim is easy, but to be a practical Muslim, completely practical Muslim, is very hard. What a big covenant! Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. And we repeat this covenant in Salah how many times a day? Just imagine. Suratul Fatiha, integral part of our prayer. لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. The Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وسلم. And I told you the central ayah is إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. This is the biggest covenant, the biggest misaq. Now, because it is very difficult, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these four ibadat which make it easy. For example, As-Salah. Lest you should forget. Maybe you are very busy in your work, in your trade, in your business, and just forget that you had made the covenant with Allah that I am your abd, that you are doing something wrong. So, to avoid this forgetfulness, you renew your covenant 5 times a day at least. Leave your job, leave your mosque, leave your shop. It's the call for Zuhr, it's the call for Asr, it's the call for Maghrib. Leave it. Go. Make wudu. Stand. And then renew your covenant. Aqimi salata li zikri. This was the commandment which Allah gave to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam in the first way, which has been given in the beginning of Surah Taha. Aqimi salata li zikri. And further, wala taniya an zikri. Look to it that you and your brother Harun, they should not show any laziness in my zikr. And for zikr, you establish salah. So that you remember that you are an abd. You are not free just as other people think they are free. They are free to do anything. They don't accept Allah. They don't accept Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Christians, they don't have any law whatsoever. Hazrat Masih alayhi salatu wa salam had said, it is written up till now, there it is in the gospel. Don't think I have come to destroy law. The law of Moses, Hazrat Musa ki shariat, it will remain applicable to you. But Saint Paul abrogated it. No sharia. This is a strange religion which has no sharia whatsoever. There is nothing farz in Christianity and nothing haram in Christianity. But Islam is something else. It has a complete code of life, we say, total system of life. So, number one, to avoid forgetfulness, establish salah 5 times a day. Renew your covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. I wonder how many of you can appreciate a very good couplet from Hafiz Jalandhari, but it is in Urdu. Sarkashi ne kar diye dhundle naqooshe bandagi. Bandagi. On our forehead there were marks of bandagi. But due to the sarkashi of our nafs, inna nafsa la marku bisu, these marks have faded. سرکشی نے کر دیے دھندلے نقوش بندگی آؤ سجدے میں گریں لوہے جبیں تازہ کریں. Let us come and put our foreheads on the dust, on the land, on the ground, to renew our pledge, to renew our covenant. آؤ سجدے میں گریں. And this عہد اس کو تازہ. So salah is for making you always minding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, what is song for? You humans are, you have a double existence, an animal existence and a spiritual existence. And you have all the animal instincts. You need food. And this instinct of hunger, it wants its satisfaction. Something should be put in me. I don't know whether it is halal or haram. I don't worry. There is the sex. When you know this arouses, then a man becomes mad. He needs the satisfaction with sex. Doesn't care from halal or haram. He loves maal, dunya ka, worldly belongings, wealth. He loves it. And our nafs says, get it. Somebody is offering you a bribe. Something within you will say, no, don't take it, it's haram. The conscience is also there. The ruh is in you. It forbids you. But your nafs ammara. Inna nafs ammaratan su. Inna nafs la ammaratum bisu. Oh, have it, take it. We need it. You know, the feast of the children has not been paid. We have to pay it. Get it. Who will stop you? So all these animal instincts, they are blind. They want their satisfaction. That's all. They don't care either it is from halal or haram. For that Allah has given you psalm. Control your animal instincts. Bear hunger. You are hungry. And the food is there in the fridge. You can't take it. Allah doesn't allow. So this 30 days practice will produce in you the strength of your will, that for the remaining 11 years, at least you will not take any share haram. While in Ramadan, you are not taking the halal things due to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are thirsty. And best drinks, you know, sharbat ruh afza and so forth are there. Can't touch. No. Not allowed. This is the practice. This is the practice. So that you can control your animal instincts and ambitions. This nafs of ours, this animal existence of ours is like a horse. And our ruh is the rider. If the ruh is weak and the horse is strong, what will happen to the ruh? It will throw it anywhere in ditch. You have to have strong ruh to control this horse which you are riding. And then you can use this horse for your purpose, for getting reward in the hereafter, because you have in control of your horse. So this horse will take you where you want to go. But if it is out of control, then it will throw you on the ground. For that, you know, this ruh, ego, khudi, this self, it has to be strong enough to control the animal instincts. Because these animal instincts are, as I told you, they are blind. They don't care for halal or haram. They want their satisfaction. The love of wealth. Innahu lihubbil khair lashadid. For that zakah. At least this much you have to pay. So that the cork is taken off from the bottle. But you have to pay more also. The Prophet says, Inna fil maal lahaqqan sima zakah. Never think that only zakah is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your wealth. No. Inna fil maal lahaqqan sima zakah. And then he quoted the ayah. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَى الزَّكَاةَ. آتَى الزَّكَاةَ is separate. وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. It is separate. So this is the third pillar. First of all, remembrance of Allah through Salah. Number two, controlling of your animal instincts through Psalm. And controlling your lust for wealth through Zakah and Sadaqat. And all these things are added up in Hajj. In Hajj what happens? You have to spend money. You have to take the hardship of journey. In Ihram there are limitations, just like the limitations that you cannot have sex with your wife when you are at Psalm. She's wife, your legal wife. But in the case you are with Psalm, you can't do it. In the same case, if you are in Ihram, you can't do it. So all these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has joined together in Hajj. That is why, you know, there is the hadith that Hajjul Mabroor, the Hajj that has been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it becomes the kafara for all the zunub of the past, all the sins of the past, but not every Hajj. If your Hajj is not from halal land, it is not. If your income is not halal, there is a very strict warning by Prophet ﷺ. He mentions a person who has come for a very long distance for Hajj. Ashqaza Akbara. His dress is also, you know, all in dust. His hair also dusty. Yutilu Safara. Ashqaza Akbara. Yamuddu yadayhi ila samaa, extends his both hands towards the sky. Maybe he is on Jabalur Rahma. Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb, Ya Rabb. Wa anna yustajabu li zalik. How can his prayer be accepted? Wa mat'amuhu haramun, wa malbasuhu haramun, wa ghudhiya bil haram. While what he has eaten is from haram, what he is wearing, the ihram, it is also for haram. And his body, all these tissues have been formed by haram food. Anna yustajabu li zalik. How can his prayer be accepted? So now this is the, I started with what? The most basic call of all the Anbiya and the Rusul has been ibadatul Rabb. All the Anbiya to their nations. Ya Qawm, Ya Qawmi, I'budullah ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. In case of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Yuhannas, I'budu rabbakum al-lazhi khalakakum, wal-lazhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. And this is from Abd Ibadah. Total, total obedience out of extreme love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There should be bandagi, total bandagi. Zindagi aamad baraye bandagi. This, you know, couplet of Sheikh Sadi used to be written in the box. Now the designs, etc. have changed. Otherwise, you know, we had these. Yomir, mehshar ke jang udaas bovad, awwali pursishe namaz bovad. These, you know, couplets were used to be written in the box. Zindagi aamad baraye bandagi, zindagi be bandagi sharmindagi. So bandagi, extreme, and extreme love, they go to make ibadah, which Allah is demanding of us. Then I have told you that ibadat, they are ibadat. But one is that total ibadah, and these are the pillars to support that ibadah. You have a shamiyana tent. You need some poles to hold it up. So this, you know, this roof, this shamiyana, this is ibadah, ubudu rabbakum. And these ibadat, they are the supporting pillars, pillars of Islam. And for this, you know, let me quote from Surah Al-Bayyinah. That is very important. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. Now brothers, please ponder over it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in this ayah the essence of deen. They were not ordered except to do ibadah to Allah, making their obedience exclusive for Allah. مُخْنِسِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Not that you are obeying Allah also, and then you are obeying somebody else also who is giving you a command which is contrary to the Sharia of Allah. مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Your obedience has to be khalis for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, wa. Now this waw atf, it joins two things, different. مُغَائِرَة. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. Now I am coming to a very important point, and one which I fear maybe that you don't like. Is our ibadah today complete? Here you are living in a country where you are in minority, but we have countries where we are in majority. Decisive. But is the Sharia implemented over there? Not even in Pakistan, which was established in the name of Islam. So it means our ibadah is incomplete, naqis. Because we are a part and parcel of that environment. We are the citizens of that state. I am coming to you here with a passport of Pakistan state. But what is there in Pakistan? Is the law implemented? Sharia? No. So, today, I don't know a single person whose ibadah is complete. Show me a place on the earth where the total deen of Allah is established, where the individuals are living their lives according to Sharia, and the state is also based on Sharia. So that obedience is total. But not a single inch you can show. And now, if this is the condition, Quran says, chop off the hands of the thieves. Do we do it? Quran says, rajm, for adultery, if the adulterers are married. Otherwise, 100 stripes. Are we doing it? Over the whole of the Muslim world, Western civilization is prevalent. And their thoughts, we are following them. We are imitating their ways, their habits. And there is not total establishment of deen anywhere in the world today. And I told you, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ. You don't. This ayah tells us why we are having the humiliation in this world. We are 1.5 billion at least in this world. Every fourth, or otherwise at least every fifth human being is a Muslim. Such a large number. What a big area. From Indonesia till Mauritania. There comes India in between, but India has more than 20 crores Muslims. All types of wealth, mineral, agricultural, Allah has given us. But do we have any respect in the world? Be honest to yourself. Do we have any say in the international affairs? Does somebody ask our opinion? What is your opinion? Kashdami Pursat ke bhaiya kisi, who are you? They decide our fates. They decide when we have to go to war against anybody. And when we have to bow down before anybody. They decide it. What are our governments throughout the Islamic world? The pocket unions of America and nothing else. And what is the reason? Does Allah dislike Muslims and likes non-Muslims? Rahmatein hain teri aghyar ke kashanon par. Oh Allah, what you have given to the kuffar, to these Christians, the Americans, the Europeans, the Russians, then the Chinese, and so on and so forth. And for us, What is this? At least we believe in your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At least we believe in your book Quran. We respect it. We hold it in high esteem. At least we go to your Baitullah, your Bait, and we perform pilgrimage. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said it. If you don't accept my deen in totality, I will surely put you to the most severe humiliation on this earth, and then throw you in the worst of the punishments in the hereafter. This is Quran, not me. Please, Lord. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَى أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Don't think Allah is unaware of what you are doing. You can't deceive Allah with the lengths of your beards and the appearance that you have adopted of a muttaqi person. Allah knows you through and through. Now the problem is what to do. Had there been any country in this world where Allah's deen was prevalent, we would have gone there, Hijra. But there's none. Allah said in Quran, Inna arzi wasi'atun fayyaya fa'budun. Today this world has become very small. They call it a global village. And every country has, you need passport, you need visa. Can't enter. Go away. Or you will be put in jail. So what to do? There should be some solution. And there is a solution. And what is that solution? You know, this batil, this shadalat, this nizam, this system, the false system, the taghuti system, this is the biggest munkar, biggest haram shay. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us through his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a way out. مَنْ رَعَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. This hadith is from Sahih of Imam Muslim rahimahullah, and it is narrated by Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala. مَنْ رَعَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. Whosoever amongst you sees something which is munkar, which is haram, which is wrong, which is false, it is his duty to change it. Stop it with power. This is the first position. And if you don't have power, or you lack the courage, let me say, at least you can have this much, that you collide with that and give your life, you can do it. But perhaps you don't have the courage. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives another way. فَبِلِسَانِهِ. At least say, it is false, it is wrong, it is haram, it is not worth doing. Stop it, stop it, stop it. At least this much you should say. نَهِيَ الْمُنْكَرِ بِلِسَانِ. And if even there are locks put to your tongues, you can't open your tongue, you can't say. Even saying something true takes you to jail or somewhere else. Then at least from the heart, you should have nafrat, dislike for it. You shouldn't cooperate with that system. You should not serve that system. You go on fighting that system. with your tongue at least, so that this struggle of yours, it becomes kafara for whatever sin is going into you, being a part and parcel of the false system. We are parts and parcels of the false system. You know, if somebody has broken his psalm wrongly, there is a kafara that will compensate for the sin, for the mistake. In the same way, living in any place where taghut is prevalent. Now the biggest taghut is who? Today's biggest taghut is sovereignty of people. Oh no, sovereignty belongs to Allah. لا يشرك في حكمه أحدا إن الحكم إلا لله الملك القدوس. He is the sovereign. Whosoever claims to be sovereign is claiming to be God. Sovereignty belongs to Allah only. Why we call that Fir'aun called himself God? أنا ربكم الأعلى. Not that he claimed that I have created the world. He was not a fool. There would have been people who had seen him as a child also. What he meant was, sovereignty belongs to me. أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرِ وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي. Is not the kingdom of Misr under me? And all this irrigation system is controlled by me. To whomsoever I like, I will give water of the canal. To from whomsoever I want, I will disconnect it. I have the authority. This is what is today biggest shaitan, biggest taghut, biggest kufr, biggest shirk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, at least, you can strive to change this system. Live on the minimum. Don't try to prosper in this world, which is under a false system. If you are prospering under a false system, actually, you have reconciled with that system. Are you understanding what I am saying? Reconciliation. Accepted it. While Quran says, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْتَاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُسْقَى. You have to do kufr of taghut first, and then your iman billah is acknowledged. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْتَاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُسْقَى. So this is the practical thing that I told you. Live at the minimum level of this world, so that you can release yourself, your energies, your time. As you know, the brethren among Tablighi Jamaat say, Tafreequl Awqat. You have your time free so that you can do some good work for the service of religion. If you are busy 24 hours, during the night also you are thinking about your business and this and this, and the whole day from morning to evening, nothing else. If you are so much drowned in this world, مومن کی یہ پہچان کے آفاق کہ گم اس میں ہے آفاق اور کافر کی یہ پہچان کے آفاق میں گم ہے. We become lost in this world. Just lost. So, if we have to live, we have to live. Where to go? Can I go make hijrah to India, where I was born? Or can I go to Afghanistan? What is happening over there? America with its daisy cutters, it is sitting over there. Where do I go? Saudi Arabia. They won't allow a single person. It's their kingdom. So wherever you are, please, this is what I have understood. Be patient with the minimum standard of living. so that you can spare your time, your energies. You can think what to do. You can ponder over whom should I go and speak. Kis taraf jaun, kise dekhun, kidhar awaaz do. Ae hujum e naam aur aati dil bahut ghabra hai. But yes, okay, that person seems to me that he will listen to me, so I go to him. But that you can do only if you have time. And if your time is tied up, what can you do? So free yourself with the bondage of this world as much as you can. And spend your energies, your resources, your intelligence, your understanding, whatever Allah has bestowed upon you, for the cause of Allah, maximum. This is the way out. And for this purpose, let me give one thing is essential for that. If some of you made this decision that yes, from today, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alamin, I declare that my prayer and my hajj and my life and my death are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to live for Allah, die for Allah. Live for Allah's deen, die for Allah's deen. Then you should come together and make yourself into a party. Hizbullah! You read this word in Quran or not? Hizbullah. Ulaika Hizbullah. Ala inna Hizbullah humul muflihun. The last words of Surah Al-Mujadilah. And in Surah Al-Baqarah. Fa inna Hizbullah humul ghalibun. And let me give you a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is from Harith al-Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala. And it has been reported in Musnad Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Jami' Tirmizi rahimahumullah. The Prophet said, Inni amurukum bi khamsin. O Muslims, I command you five things. Declare imperative for you. Bil jama'ate. And there is additional words. Allahu amarani bihinna. I am commanding you five things. Allah has commanded me for them. Although we know that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had in his own right to give command, he could do it. But to emphasize that what these things I am telling you are not from me personally, but from Allah. Inni amurukum bi khamsin. Allahu amarani bihinna. بالجماعت والسمع والطاعة والهجرة والجهاد في سبيل الله أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Be in the form of a jama'ah. لا إسلام إلا بالجماعه. The saying of Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه. ولا جماعه إلا بالإمارة ولا إمارة إلا بالطاعة. There's no Islam without jama'ah. And there's no jama'ah without imara. And there's no imara without obedience. So first of all, be a jama'ah. Imperative. Obligatory. Number two, sam'u'ta'ah. Listen and obey. Listen to what the Amir says and obey it. In the case of the Anbiya, it had to be absolute. Whatever command Nabi gives, it is from Allah. And Nabi is masoom, there can be no mistake. So there is no choice whatsoever. But after this institution of prophethood and messengerhood having come to an end in the person of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now there is no unlimited obedience to anybody. It has to be conditional. Fil ma'roof. Within the limits of the Sharia. Whosoever, maybe he is Caliph, maybe he is Abu Bakr. He himself said, If I say to you something correct, follow it. If I say something wrong, correct me. He never claimed I am masoom. We never believe in any person after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be masoom. Well, this is the idea of some people, other people. Ahle tashayyo, their tasawwur, their concept of imama masooma is not with us. So all the obedience has to be fil ma'roof, within the limits of the Sharia. Now this strength, this party, what will it do? Hijrah and jihad. And what is hijrah? Hijrah has a very long connotation. The beginning and the end, I will tell you. The beginning of hijrah is, the Prophet was asked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayyul hijrati afzalu ya Rasulallah. Oh, Messenger of Allah, tell us, which hijrah is afzal? Topmost. But what the reply? Antahjura ma kareha rabbuk. You give up everything that your Rabb does not like. This is hijrah. You can make hijrah tonight. Just see whether in your income something is haram. Decide. I leave it now and here. If in your social life something is haram, if the veil and parda etc. is not there, do it. This is hijrah. Afzalul hijrah. Ayyul hijrat afzalu ya Rasulullah. Antahjura ma kareha rabbuk. That you give up everything that is not liked by your Lord. And what will be the top of hijrah? If the struggle to establish the deen of Allah comes to a stage where there is an armed struggle, where qital is going on, when you know after the establishment of Medina, this jihad was safe as starting. Now it was made imperative. Every mu'min must come to Medina, otherwise he will be taken to be a munafiq. مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ وَلَايَتِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى يُحَاجِرُمْ. That is the top procedure. You leave your homes and hearts. You leave your families. Just imagine. The Sahaba Ikram, the Muhajirun, who made Hijrah to Medina, could they take all their families with them? No. They left their families at the mercy of the wolves of Makkah. And you know, all their belongings were looted. And the big caravan, you know, which Abu Sufyan took to Syria, that was made of the lootings. All this which has been looted from the houses of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Leaving everything behind and going to a country unknown what will happen. Only because Allah's deen requires it now. Because now that we have to fight the taghut at the battlefield, we must have full strength at one place. If we are scattered, we will not be able to defeat the taghut. So this is hijrah. From this level to that level. And what is jihad? I have spoken at length, more than I think 1900 minutes. Haqiqat jihad in English. These things can be available. I am here for 10, 11 days up now. And every day I speak different at different places, different topics, different headings. So, if you know what is jihad, here also, you know, from the beginning, what is jihad? Afzalul jihad. Ayyul jihad afzalul ya Rasulullah. The same question. Oh, Messenger of Allah, tell us, which jihad is afzal? Now listen, what was the answer? Antu jahida nafsaka fi ta'atillah. You struggle against your baser self, your nafse ammara, your animal instincts. Struggle against them. Make them obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is al-jihad, al-mujahidu man jahada nafsahu. The real mujahid is one who can make jihad against his own nafs. But the highest jihad would be when you come to the battlefield, risking your life for the cause of Allah, to establish the deen of Allah in this world. Inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minin anfusahum wa amwalahum bi anna lahum al-jannah. Verily Allah has purchased from the people who have faith, real iman, their lives as well as their belongings, their wealth. Yuqatiluna fi sabilillah. They are going to war now for the sake of Allah. Fayaqtuluna wa yuqtalun. They killed also and they are killed themselves also. Wa'dan alayhi haqqan fi at-Tawrat wal Injil. This wada of Jannah is haqq. Allah has repeated this wada thrice, fi at-Tawrat wal Injil wal Quran. Because the shaitan can come and whisper, okay, you are a fool. You are spending your money here, but you are giving the reward in the hereafter. Who knows? Any hereafter is going to come or not. Who knows? Who has told? Who has come back after death and told you that yes, there is some life after death also? Shaitan, allazi yawaswisu fi suduri nas. So this bargain, you know, this bargain is not cash bargain. You spend here, you give your life here, and you will reward in the hereafter. But that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing. Wa'dan alayhi haqqan fit Tawrat wal Injil wal Quran. Waman awfa bi ahdihi min Allah. And who can be more fulfiller of his promise than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Fastabshiru bi ba'ikum allazi ba'atum bi. So rejoice and be happy for the bargain that you have made. This is bargain, this is bay'ah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. This jama'ah must be based on bay'ah. Just as the Prophet ﷺ took bay'ah from Sahaba. Ubadah ibn Sabit says, رضي الله تعالى عنه, بَايَعْنَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى السَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ فِي الْعُسْرِ وَالْيُسْرِ وَالْمَنْشَةِ وَالْمَكْرَهِ وَعَلَى أَسْرَةٍ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى لَا نُنَازِلُ أَمْرَهُ لَهُ وَعَلَى أَنْ نَقُولَ بِالْحَقِّ أَيْنَمَا كُنَّا لَا نَخَافُ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. This long hadith, this is the constitution of Hizbullah. We pledged ourselves to the Messenger of Allah that we shall listen to whatever you say, and we shall obey whatever you command, although it might be difficult or easy. Irrespective of whether we feel inclined to do it or we have to force ourselves to do it. And even if you prefer others to us, we will never say that we are your old companions and this person is a newcomer. How come? You have appointed him Amir over us. This Zaid ibn Harsa was a slave. How you have appointed him the Amir of a army which has very great Sahaba in it? And then Usama ibn Zaid, the last army that Muhammad prepared, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which couldn't go during his lifetime, after his death, it started. And who was the leader? Usama. And they were big Sahaba. So, it will be your prerogative to whom you like, you appoint as Amir. And we shall not quarrel with the Amir also. We shall obey him also. But whatever will be our opinion at any place, at any time, we shall present our opinion. We shall not fear that people will laugh, look to him, what he is saying. Whatever they may be saying, but what my earnest opinion is, I will present. This is the constitution of Hizbullah. And this Hizbullah is to be created out of whom? Who have decided, Inna Salati wa Nusuki wa Mahyaya wa Mamati Lillahi Rabbil Alameen. Who have decided that we shall pass our lives at the minimum standard so as to release ourselves, our time, our energies for this jihad al-qital fi sabilillah. Those people, if they are practicing the rest of the deen which is possible to be practiced, if you are not practicing something which can be practiced, then you are to blame. But only those things which you cannot practice unless a system is changed, a revolution is brought, then only you will be able to chop off the hands of the thieves. This you can't do today. But having segregation of sexes, having your covering of the body according to the Islamic law, all these things you can do. And if you don't do, you are to blame. So those of us who practice whatever can be practiced, and for the rest of it which we cannot practice, the kafara is that we are striving from our maal and jaan to establish the deen of Allah, so that لَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ, so that the whole system of life comes under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the deen is implemented and imposed and established in totality. This is the concept of ibadah. One thing let me add that is very important. When I say that ibadah has to be total obedience, but there can be a mistake, khata and nisyan. For that, the door of tawbah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps open. If you repent, maybe there under some circumstances, you just forgot that I am the abd of Allah. You did something wrong, contrary to what he says. There is some society in which you are sitting, and in that society, you know, the environment becomes so such that you are also, you know, you go down the drain for that time. But immediately you should realize and repent and make tawbah. And look in Surah An-Nisa, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ. Those who do something wrong out of their sentiments, jahala. إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. It is on Allah. It is Allah bound. Allah is bound, has bound himself that he will accept the tawbah. إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجِهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. For instantly they come to their senses and they repent and they make tawbah to Allah and ask His forgiveness. Allah will forgive. But you know, if you permanently fix some haram share in your life, permanently, then only one sin can take you to Jahannam. بَلَا مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. A big khata, not small, not sagair, kabair. If any one of the kabair you have established in your life permanently, بَلَا مَنْ كَسَبَ سَيِّئَةً وَأَحَاطَتْ بِهِ خَطِيئَتُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Then they are the people of the fire, and they will dwell in it forever and forever. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ. I thank you from the depths of my heart that you have listened to the things that I have brought to you, although many of these things were bitter, because we are accustomed to listen. वो तो आप सबको जन्नत में तो जाना ही है. As if you know our seats are reserved in Jannah. Why? Because we are Muslims. That's all. No. Allah says it's not an easy thing to go to Jannah. You have to earn it. And we have before us the examples of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. How did they earn it? Now this was not my subject today. But I have spoken on the methodology of the revolution of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these things, you know, in audios will be available here. So listen to them, not once, twice, thrice, and then think, may Allah accept you for His, the deen, the service of His deen, and service of his Sharia and service of his book, Quran. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Thank you, brothers.